Why don't you stay standing? Let's pray. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us all. Let's allow Him to be here, because He's here. But let's allow Him into our space and allow Him to speak the way that He needs to this morning and the way that He wants to with all of us. Father, we thank You that You are our incredible, amazing, loving Father. We thank You that You are before all, that You're in all. And Holy Spirit, we thank You that You're with us right now. So we just choose to open ourselves to what You want to say, what You want to do, and where You would lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat, have a seat. Wow, they say that the one constant is change. And I guess we continue to see that, don't we, in this season that we live. And like all of us, we've just been through the last few days of realizing that Queen Elizabeth is no longer with us in this form. And I think for all of us here, most of us just can't remember. Those of us that have grown up in our country, or even if you're aware from other places, we can't remember not having Queen Elizabeth. And you know, a lot's been said, and some amazing words by some incredible people. But I think we can be incredibly thankful to our God to have a monarch who has actually served us and served people, honored the office and understood the responsibility of that, but done it with such humility and continued to live a life of service. And somebody who's chosen to embody Christian values and embody the servanthood of Christ in a very high office. And I think in the last number of years, where we've perhaps at times, you know, watched world leaders and watched all sorts of people in roles of leadership and had questions about it, Queen Elizabeth has stood strong and served with humility right to the very end. So, you know, we can be so thankful to our God for what she's brought and the legacy that she leaves. Just before we go on, let's pray for our new king, whether you're a Republican or whether you're a monarchist, or it doesn't really matter. We're actually told in the Word of God to actually pray for our leaders and pray for those that are in that place. So, Father, we thank You so much. We thank You for Queen Elizabeth. We thank You for the way that she's lived her life, the way that she's chosen to embody the servanthood of Jesus Christ in an incredibly high office. We thank You that she's acknowledged You, she's acknowledged who You are, she's acknowledged the responsibility that she has under You. And right now, we pray for King Charles, and we pray that You would enable him, that You would guide him with incredible wisdom. We just pray that his heart would remain soft to You as he steps into this role. And we wish him all the best. We wish him and we pray for prosperity in the way that he's able to carry that and wisdom and humility in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good to be in church. Sorry, I walked in a bit late. I had a child who has quite a bad cold, so we've whisked into some isolation up there. So I've just been doing that. Can I change angle a little bit here? Can I ask you an offensive question? Do you have a big butt? It's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer. Don't go pointing at anybody else. Please. Please. But actually, it's not good. It's not good, Carla. When I used to do a lot of scuba diving, what happens, you get all this gear on and, you know, you're in this very transitions are always uncomfortable, and we're in a transition season at the moment in so many things. But the transition between being in a boat to being in the water in scuba gear was uncomfortable. And what I would do, I'd get all my gear on, and then you have to wear a weight belt around your waist. There are other options that are better than that, some vests and things. But most of us had a weight belt around the waist. And I would be standing there with my weight belt on, done up really tight, and sometimes it would fall down because I didn't have enough butt to hold it up there. So there you go. But we can all be big butt people, can't we? I'm not talking about the physical. I'm talking about butt. You know, sometimes I get home and Alex said, you know, I asked you to get such and such from the shop. Did you? Well, yeah, I was going to, but. You know, a car turned off in front of me, and I was really interested. I was watching this Mustang, and I just completely. But I forgot. Then I didn't go to the shop. Or if you've had kids or got kids, time for bed now. But mum, but dad, but let me finish. But I just need to do this. I need to watch this. But. Or, you know, my life was going okay. But this happened. My relationship was okay. But. My job was going well. But. But the cost of living. Lizzie's talked about it already. But interest rates. But we don't know what's going to happen. Even with the imminence of this moment. You know, Queen Elizabeth has served us in an incredible way. She's been stable. We've understood. And we haven't had anxiety about where she might go and how she would respond. But we're still a little unsure about how King Charles will go. But. The one constant at the moment is change. And in change, we often ask these questions. But why? Why change? It was going on all right, and all of a sudden we changed. But why? But what? You watch things going on. But what is that all about? But how? How can we navigate the things that are in front of me? How am I going to get through this next season? How are we going to do this? How am I going to function going through a divorce? How am I going to get through this season of financial challenge? How am I going to transition to the fact that the kids have now left home and it's all different? How? But why? Why are these things happening? Anybody sort of said, why does this stuff happen to me? Yeah, we're there sometimes, aren't we? You know, for goodness sake. You know, you're in a car park and somebody backs into your car. Why do these things always happen to me? Gideon was referred to in the Old Testament as a mighty hero, one of the older versions calls him a mighty man of valor. But he was a big butt man. When he was confronted with the living God in human form speaking next to him, listen to what it says, Judges 6:12-16. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." "But, sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord has brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites." The Lord turned to him and said, listen to this, no justification whatsoever. Go. Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. And he goes on. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest of the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least of my entire family. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you're fighting against one man. Listen to the narrative that he actually has with God. And I'm just wondering, is this the narrative that we sometimes have with God and have with ourselves? But why? Why do these things happen to me? But where? Where are we going to find the answers? Where can we go? But how? How are we going to work it out? And then the old, but now. We were going okay, but now. It's turned to custard. But why are these things happening? But where are the miracles? But now you've abandoned us. But how can I rescue Israel? But why? But where? But how? But why? But where? But how? Anybody been there in those questions? But why? But where? But how? But why? But where? But how? Okay, we watch an election and you might have a particular wish for the outcome. But why? But where? But how? Or things change in your world. But why? But where? But how? And it's verse 16, when Gideon's asking, but why? But where? But how? The Lord turned to him and said, he didn't answer. He didn't give him a why. He didn't give him a how. He didn't give him where. He just said, go. Go. Go in the strength you have. And I'm wondering if that's where some of us are at this morning. We know things have changed. We know lots has been going on and we're asking those questions and we feel like we're almost stuck. Gideon, the whole nation of Israel was paralyzed through fear. The Midianites would come in and they would raid everything they had. They'd put their crops in and they'd wait till the crops were ready to harvest and they'd swoop in and raid and take the lot and off with it. So Gideon is threshing wheat, as you know, many of you know the story. He's threshing wheat in a wine press. Normally, you're going to do that out in the fields, out in the paddocks, where you can get the wind through the wheat to dry it out. But he's actually doing it hidden in a wine press. And he has this encounter with God. And it's like, he's thinking, but why do these things happen to me? Why has my life been reduced to threshing wheat in a wine press? Anybody been there? Why has it been reduced to this? Sometimes when I've had weekends when alone with the kids and it goes on and on and on and then you're doing something that you're thinking, what? My life has been reduced to this? My life has been reduced to arguing about a skipping rope? My life has been reduced to negotiating who's going to have a skipping rope. The big stuff. I joke because many of you have been there with kids and you understand. But sometimes our life feels like that. We feel like, oh, mate, I've got a calling on my life. I'm called to more. I'm called to be out there. I'm called to change nations. And here I am, having these menial little negotiations that don't seem to matter. And I think that's how Gideon felt. And God doesn't explain why. He doesn't point out where. He doesn't say how. He just says, go and I will be with you. And I think in this season, this is what I really believe. It's and I'm not telling you that we don't need to understand why, where, and how. Those things are important in context. But I think we've got to go from being people that are continually saying, but why, but where, but how, to people who say, but who? But who? You see, when this stuff comes, if you say, but who, and that who is Jesus, you say, oh yeah, this stuff is happening to me, it's happening around me, it's happening out there, but Jesus. But Jesus. But Jesus. But Jesus. The disciples, they find themselves in a boat, in a storm, and the wind and waves are coming against them, and they're uncomfortable. They're wondering why they're out there. They'd been in this amazing moment where Jesus is preaching to people, he's healing people, you know, they're running around and assisting. So the focus is all on Jesus. The focus, they would have felt pretty special being around Jesus and being sort of in that inner place. And you know, their human egos would have been enjoying the attention. They're all pumped up in that moment. And then Jesus says, I want you to go to the other side of the lake. I'll join you over there. And here they are, you know, from being almost feeling like the celebrities to being out in the middle of a lake fighting for their life. And in Matthew 14, 25, 29, it says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake, as you do. Don't you love that the Bible doesn't sort of overstate things? Like it just sort of, you know, it's quite dry. Just before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Like most of us are writing, we would have to sort of put some brackets in there. We'd have to put a couple of paragraphs in there to explain where, what, how, and why he could walk on the water, and he's God, and he can negotiate these things. But no, it just says he walked on the lake to them. When the disciples saw him walking over the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Listen to this. But Jesus, here you go. Here you go. Put yourself in the position. Apply this to your situation right here, right now. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you and walk on the water. Now, I'm not going to go into this morning, but this just shows the heart of God. Peter didn't need to walk on the water. Jesus was coming to the boat. Obviously I'm in that zone with kids that are impetuous and all those things, and it's like, it just reminds me, you know, you go somewhere and the kids want to do something that is totally unnecessary in the moment. And you're like, no, you don't need to do that. It's just going to further complicate things. Stay in the car. Stay in the car. It's all, no, we're going to be there. And you would expect that Jesus would have said, Peter, just chill, man. Take one of your tablets and just wind down a little bit and stay in the boat. And Jesus says, cool, come. So Peter, in his impetuousness, is the only other person without mechanical devices to actually walk on water with Jesus. Amazing. So they see someone walking on the water, that would freak anyone out, even with all those things today. I mean, if you ask me, have I walked on water, I'll tell you yes, but not really. I can barefoot, well, I haven't done it for a few years, but I've done quite a bit of barefoot water skiing. So we basically get pulled by a boat at a fairly high speed, and you can actually ski on your feet. It's incredible. It's amazing, but it's pretty high risk. You're going fast, so when you hit the water, you can hurt yourself, and you can't do it for that long because you know what happens? Your feet burn up. They actually get really, really hot, and so, you know, it's a far cry from just being out there having a leisurely, casual walk on the water. So we'd even be freaked out now if we saw someone walk across the water, wouldn't we? But Jesus. Listen to this. Listen to how he responds. And I think this is really important. He's present. in the change that's happening at the moment and all the things that are going on in the time that we live, Jesus is present. In your situation, in the things that he's asking of you, in your family, in your season, in your business, in your school, wherever you are, he is present. Stuff goes on, but Jesus is present. He's speaking. In the moment of all that, he actually spoke to them. And he said, you know, it's me. Everything's going to be okay. I am here. Again, Jesus is actually speaking. People online this morning, you might have just joined us in this moment, and you might have some incredible thing going on in your world that none of us even understand. But Jesus is present. He's with you, and he's going to speak into that situation if you allow him to. And he's filling them. He actually fills them with courage. He said, it's me, it's all right. He said, take courage. But Jesus says, take courage. And he's expelling fear. He says, fear not. He says, fear, be gone. But Jesus, he's present. He's in your situation. He's in your storm. He's speaking to you right now. He's filling you with courage and he's expelling fear. Come on, we've got to, I love that, Jose. We've got to grab that. Jesus is present. He's here. He's in this room right now. That's enough for us to get excited. But he's here right now and he's in our situation. He's in your situation. He's in whatever you're going through. He is there. So when this stuff happens, we can say why, how, but we can say, but Jesus. But Jesus is in it. But Jesus is here. He's in your situation. He's in your storm. He's speaking to you now. He's filling you with courage. He's expelling fear. So how can we move from saying, but why, but where, but now, but how, to but who, but Jesus? And listen to what it says in Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. It says, but God. So you know, if you follow that, there was a little bit about the plight of humanity and where we're at. And then it says, but God. You know, the but is an intervention. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, in other words, dead in stuff that was going to destroy us, he's made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And I want to talk a little bit about people who live with a but Jesus mindset. People who live with a but Jesus mindset. See, I think as Christians, we can understand that we're saved, that we're set free, we understand what we've got, but we can still live with that but me, but why, but how mindset. But sometimes you meet people and they live with this but Jesus mindset. And I think more than anything, at the moment, our community needs a but Jesus mindset. It needs us to be people that have a but Jesus mindset. And people that have a but Jesus mindset, number one, they receive God's mercy and grace. They receive God's mercy and grace constantly. See, the word says his mercies are new every morning. See, we're very good at understanding, oh yeah, God met me and I was saved. I received salvation. I received forgiveness of sins and he had mercy on me. But his mercies are new every morning. In other words, his mercy is there for you every single day. I don't know about you, but I muck up somewhere every single day. And I actually need God's mercy every single day. And then there's the but now thing, stuff that has nothing to do with me, but somehow it happened to me just because I was there. And I need God's mercy in that situation. And I need his grace. In other words, grace is receiving the stuff that we don't deserve. And there is a grace that God puts on us that we can actually walk in a grace where we're not struggling because his grace has actually gone before us and allows us to walk in his grace. Let's be mercy and grace people. You see, mercy and grace people know it's not all about them. And I think even the last few days, as we've listened to all the tributes on Queen Elizabeth, if ever there was a position where someone's ego could run wild, it would being a monarch, wouldn't it? But she really did serve with mercy and grace. And I think mercy and grace, people know it's not all about them. It's not all about me. See, mercy and grace, people know that we've received mercy and grace so that we can actually give and minister to those around us. I think the more we understand that, the more we're actually able to serve the way that God's called us to. Who's ever had an opportunity to serve and you really know God's asked you to do something or it's an obvious opportunity and you've held back? And you think, well, why? Why do I hold back? Oh, I might be rejected. I might look like an idiot. Anyone been there? I might not be received. It might make my life awkward or difficult. See, mercy and grace people can walk in that because we understand. We get a revelation that it's not all about us. But it's all about God, who is doing it in us and through us. John 15:7 says, "But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted." People who live with a but Jesus mindset, I believe, allow his words to remain in them. They allow the word of God, they allow the words of Jesus, they allow the rhema word of the Holy Spirit, the logos, the written word, they allow that to actually remain in them. You see, the power of the Word of God, the power of the words of the Holy Spirit that are spoken into our spirit. And then it's like when we face stuff, it's like His words actually remain in us and we speak and we respond to the situation out of His Word that is in us. And I reckon sometimes we are unable to cope with certain things because we know that we are in Christ as followers of Jesus, but for some reason His Word hasn't remained in us. You've probably heard this analogy too. You know, we leak. You know, you can be in a church service, or you can have a little time with God, or you can have a conversation, you know, a spiritual conversation, and you feel good. You feel like you can take on the world. And the next thing, a few things happen, and you feel like, oh, I've got nothing left. It's not in me. It actually leaks out of us. So we've actually got to be continually filled, and we've got to allow the Word to remain in us. Jesus said, remain in me and allow my words to remain in you. You see, people who live with a but Jesus mindset actually allow His Word and the Word of God to remain in them. You get a worrying health report, but Jesus. And we know, we've watched people go through that things. We see incredible healings, and sometimes we wonder why things don't happen the way that we want. But I tell you what, if we have a but Jesus, you still allow Him to work in that and through it. And I understand that He actually wants to heal. But Jesus, by His stripes, I am healed. And obviously, as a family, we've just been walking through that. We've been walking through that with Dad. We've been through a couple of weeks of him, you know, being in a pretty critical situation. And you know, we can talk about this, but when, you know, it's real and you've actually got to get up in the morning, you've got to say, you know, but Jesus, you know, by your stripes, we're believing that Dad will be healed. By your stripes, we're believing that you'll be with him and you will actually allow something good to come out of something that was meant for harm. but Jesus. It changes our mindset. It changes the way that we engage with something. And it changes the way that God can actually work through you. Because when you go, but Jesus, you're actually inviting him into that situation and you are releasing him to move in that situation through you. Because he actually chooses to move through people. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we think, oh yeah, he can do anything he likes. Well, in a sense, yes. But we also understand that he went into his hometown. And we're told that he could do very little because people were familiar, they didn't believe, and they didn't want to think that one of their people, you know, the local carpenter's son, could actually come and do miracles and ultimately be the Son of God. And he actually moved on to another town, but he gets into other towns and people go, I don't get this. I don't understand. You know, the woman who had that issue of blood and she's been bleeding for years. She's spent every ounce of money and resource that she's got on doctors and trying to get healed. And she's been through the whole lot. She's destitute and she's desperate enough to actually go, but Jesus. I don't get this. I don't even know who he is. I don't know how this works. But Jesus, can you come into my situation? And instantly healed her. You know, we see lots of natural challenges. But Jesus brings supernatural opportunity. But Jesus brings supernatural opportunity. He brings supernatural provision, and we need to see and expect a supernatural future. Matthew 19:26 says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I think people that live with a but Jesus mentality have a supernatural perspective. They actually have a supernatural perspective. And a supernatural perspective doesn't mean being weird. It doesn't mean sort of being out there. It doesn't mean speaking in different language to everybody else. You know, everybody else is going around, so, oh, there's stuff going on here, and you're going, oh, I'm trying to find some spiritual language. I don't hear enough of it. But, you know, people start to speak in old King James when you know, all of a sudden they're normal, and all of a sudden you start to have a conversation and they start to proclaim stuff in the King James and just so disconnected and out there. You don't have to be that. I'm not, you know, if that works for you, well, that's okay. But what I'm saying is a supernatural perspective doesn't mean being weird. A supernatural perspective is what Jesus showed the disciples actually when he confronted them with something very, very natural. See, the background of that verse I just read, when he says, with God all things are possible, was a guy comes along with a lot of money. Jesus has a dialogue with him, and the disciples sort of talk about it, and he says to them, he says, it's harder for a rich man to get to heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. So they're like, what's the deal, Lord? What's going on here? Who can get saved then? If it's that hard, who can get saved? And he looks at them and he says, well, that's the issue here, is it's not a natural thing. You've actually got to have a supernatural perspective. He said, with man, what is impossible is there, but with God, all things are possible. And Jesus explained, you know, it was incredibly difficult to overcome finding security and significance in physical wealth. Anybody seen that or felt that or experienced it? Our kids were going through that last year, and probably still. And they'd been given some money and things for their birthday. So we got he would have been five. So writes a note to Santa Claus, and what do you want? I just want lots of money. And he came out with a pretty out there figure. I don't think it was $1 million, but it was more than that, was it? It was lots of zeros. It was smart, yes. But sometimes we can be like that, can't we? We can think, you know, that's, if I had more, I'd be okay. There's nothing wrong with more. In fact, I believe Jesus wants to give you more. You know, if he blesses you in that way, you can continue to make a difference. But whether you've got a little or a lot, it won't make any difference to your security, because your security's not in the money, your security's in Christ. And it's like, and Jesus says, you know, with man, this stuff doesn't make sense, but if you have a spiritual perspective, you understand with God, all things are possible. In other words, he's saying, you know, you can sometimes read about incredible miracles. Somebody with massive wealth and influence comes and finds significance and relationship in Jesus Christ. And it's a miracle. Because they've actually had to understand that it's not all the stuff. And believe me, when you think, oh, if I had more, I could actually, you know, it would be easier to trust God. I think it actually gets harder. The more you have, the more you want to manage it, and the more... And Jesus said to his disciples, he said, it's about a spiritual perspective. Jesus looked at them with spiritual eyes. And... reminds me of John 4:24, and it says, "For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." His spirit means that he can be everywhere, his presence is everywhere. But to have a spiritual perspective, we actually need to engage with him at a spiritual level. People who live with a "but Jesus" mindset have chosen to engage beyond the natural and engage at a spiritual level. Is, you know, the Bible is really clear that things that are born of spirit last and they're eternal, and it's our spirit that connects with the Spirit of God, his presence in that place, that allows him to do incredible, where you can say "but Jesus" in those situations. All right, last one. John 4:22. But Jesus replied, "I have a kind of food you know nothing about." And this is the context of him sitting, talking to a pretty broken woman at the well in the middle of a town square. People who live with a "but Jesus" mindset, they're not just spiritual skin and bone. Years ago when I started riding in endurance cycling events, and I very quickly found out if you wanted to make it through the event, you actually had to take nutrition really seriously. You know, you could, you know, I did a lot on willpower. But willpower will not overcome a body that's completely run out of nutrition and energy. It will just shut down. Doesn't matter how strong you are, there will become a point where it just can't go any longer. So I had to understand nutrition. I had to understand what it meant to have the right nutrition to make it to the end of a 200K ride. You know, what I had to eat along the way, what I had to eat beforehand. And we used to do a thing, I think it was overdone a little bit. We used to do a thing called carb loading, which was just an excuse to eat all these beautiful carbs in abundance, because you were going to go and burn them off the next day and you needed enough in your body. You know, a wonderful thing. But you see, if you're going to go the distance, you actually need to be fed with spiritual food. And sometimes, you know, we can get excited about carb loading before an event or even with no event. But you know, we like to binge on that stuff. It's in the natural, isn't it? It makes us feel good. But how often have you thought about carb loading on the Word of God? How often have you thought about carb loading and binging on the Word of God and actually allowing it to actually flood your system? You see, the reason that they talk about doing carb loading is when you put energy actually in, you know, while you're riding, while you're in the event, you're putting stuff in that can be processed quickly and can get into your muscles to actually keep you going. But carb loading actually stores. It actually stores glycogen in your body, which will actually you can actually draw on and use. They tell us you even store it in your brain. That's amazing, isn't it? That you store glycogen in your brain that can actually flow through your body to your muscles and in a cyclist's case, your legs and enable you to go. Imagine in the time that we live, the days that we live, I believe that we need to be carb loading on the presence of God. I believe that we need to be carb loading on the Word of God. I believe that we need to be carb loading on those things that are good so that the Word remains in us. And it's like when you get into that space and you're thinking, I just need something to get me through this. I need another power bar. I need another energy drink. Oh, I need another gel. You know, all these things that people overdo in endurance sport. And actually, you know, they're only so good. But it's actually about your condition. It's actually about what you've actually storing in your body that will get you to the end. That's great. And I believe, spiritually speaking, people who have a but Jesus mindset have been fed. In other words, there is a sense of the presence, there is a sense of the Word, there is a sense of the power, there is a sense of that being actually stored in you that is actually there for when the tough times come. I mean, I can really honor Dad as he's been through an incredible thing. You know, the pain that he's been through and the devastation and everything that he's dealt with. But, you know, I haven't heard him complain. Haven't heard him moaning about me. He did admit the other day that perhaps the decision around what happened wasn't one of his finest. And sometimes we think, well, how can you be like that? And I believe you can be like that. You can respond to that because you've actually, over many, many years, over time, you've had that Word. You've had that presence. You've actually had God into you. So that when you face something, that he's there. Of course, we know that he will be there. He'll be present no matter what we've done. You call anybody who calls upon his name will be saved. But I think there is a greater depth and a capacity to walk through stuff when his Word remains in us and we're fed on his Word. When Jesus spoke to that woman, and they're having a very just normal conversation about water, about getting the stuff, and he turns it. He says, you know, he said, I've got food that you know nothing about. And he leads her into the place of what you actually need is not just physical food, but you actually need spiritual food. This is a woman that had had, was it seven husbands? Something like that. So she continued to try and find significance and her self-worth through relationships, and she tried and tried again. And Jesus said, you won't find it there. You'll only find it, your significance, in spiritual food that at the moment you don't know anything about. And we know that she obviously got it. She went back and she told everybody in the town, I've just met this guy who's told me everything about me. He's actually allowed me to connect with a God who loves me, who values me, even though the rest of the town won't even talk to me because, you know, they consider my morals different to them. They won't engage, they won't help me through my brokenness, but he met me in my brokenness, in my situation. And we're told there's a revival in the town. She went off, but Jesus. But Jesus. The team want to join me, please. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, it's impossible. But with God, but with Jesus, all things are possible. I want to pray but Jesus into some circumstances here this morning. What we can do now is invite Jesus into your circumstances, into your situation. You can actually declare with your mouth, and that's a powerful thing. But ultimately, about seeing breakthrough is going into everything with a but Jesus mindset and attitude. Can I encourage you, Andrew? Andrew's up the back serving as he continues to do. And Andrew texted me the other day with a little bit of disappointment about a change in a business contract, something that he perhaps didn't expect. But I want to speak, and I know you're there, but I want to speak but Jesus into that situation. I want to speak but Jesus. You know what in the natural might not make sense. What perhaps even stuff going on. What even an enemy might have meant for harm, but Jesus is in it and he's going to use it for good. He's going to use it for good. And this is what I believe, prophetically here, that as you walk through that and the things that actually unfold and open up into the future, there will be a greater sense of freedom. There have been areas where you've been walking in stuff and there's a sense of, feeling like, oh yeah, God's blessing us, but I feel tied to this. I feel like that is sort of, restricting and holding us. And I think God wants to bring both of you into a season where the circumstances around you, even the contracts, even the customers actually don't actually hold you and place you in a situation where in the moment it feels restrictive. But, God is saying, if Jesus is in it and he's going to lead you through it and there is going to be a greater sense of freedom, you're going to find yourself with more autonomy. You're going to find yourself with a capacity to say yes and say no in situations where you feel like you are actually allowing God to be directing what you say yes and no to, rather than feeling like, okay, we've said yes to this, we've got to be there, if that makes sense. But I just believe there is an autonomy and there is authority and there's a freedom that's coming into your business and your situation as you move forward. Who's got a health situation this morning? If you're online, send us a message. I'll let you go online in a minute, but if you're still with us there, send us a message. If you've got a health situation, just stand where you are. Just stand where you are. Come on, let's believe but Jesus, but Jesus, but Jesus, but Jesus. Let's get around people, and I want us to speak. I want us to speak words of life, situations over that. Lord, as people stand here this morning, there are reports and there are things in the natural that that would indicate a certain direction. They don't always bring encouragement, and sometimes they can be scary. But we want to declare right now, but Jesus, over all these situations, Lord Jesus. Lord, right now over Janet, we say, but Jesus. We say, what an enemy would use for harm. What would want to bring discouragement, we say, but Jesus. But Jesus, by your stripes we are healed. And we pray for Janet right now that by the stripes, by those stripes that our Savior and Lord bore, Jesus himself did, we thank you that Janet is healed in the name of Jesus. Just fill her with your presence. Fill her with your presence. Lord, I pray right now. I pray for Merle. I pray that you would just fill her with courage. Lord, I pray that there would be courage that would come upon her right now in the name of Jesus. Fill her right now. Fill her right now. I pray that she would feel your presence, that she would know that you are there across every part of her, from the top of her head to the tip of her toe. Lord Jesus, where there is pain, where it feels like a struggle, that she would be overcome with your mercy and grace. Lord, I pray that when she feels like, oh, this is too hard, Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name that she would have the courage to say, but Jesus, I'm here for a reason, I'm here for a purpose, but Jesus has put me here in this place. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we stand with Kevin right now. We just pray. We pray for Kev's salvation. We pray for Kev to have an experience of you like he's never had before. And we believe in the name of Jesus that you would bring healing to him right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Who's our online moderator this morning? Chelsea, just let me know, Chelsea, if there's anybody we've got to pray for online. I'll let online go. If there's nobody that's seeing out to be prayed for, I'm gonna farewell online right now. Steve, awesome. Steve. I know this journey for you, mate, it's been hard, and you felt like, you know, something that came suddenly has actually, you know, it's very much impacted your now. It's changed your lifestyle. The pain and the journey of that's been hard. But I'm believing, you know, that just as suddenly as that happened, you're actually going to experience the provision of God suddenly in your life. You're actually going to know a greater purpose. You're going to understand things that he's got for you and things that he wants for you. So through this journey, you're actually going to get an understanding of what God's got for you. But we're going to believe, but Jesus, that there is healing and there is a speediness of this part of the journey. Lord, we pray for Steve right now. And we reach out to Steve that you would just bring healing to him. You know, that all that he's been going through with his arm and the complications of that, in Jesus' name, that he would feel your presence and that you would work in his situation right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we just pray for Leanne right now. We say, but Jesus. Say, but Jesus in Leanne's situation. I pray that you would just meet her in that private place, that you would... She would just feel your presence in her spirit. She would feel your presence right throughout her body. And we just declare, we actually say, enough is enough. And we pray that she would find release from this season that she's been in. And that you would just meet her with your mercy and grace. And she would feel your healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Awesome. Awesome. Great to have you online. We can continue to pray for you. If you want to send messages in, we will pray. But I'm going to let you guys go now. We're going to continue to pray for some people in the building here. It's been great to have you with us. God bless, and we will talk to you soon. Let's gather around Sav. Can you go and stand with Sav too, Nathan? Lord Jesus, we want total victory for Sav. We pray right now that you would, that he would find incredible freedom in you, that he would find freedom from those things that would want to control his life, that the power of God and the word that remains in him would be greater than those things. Lord, we just pray that you would change that in Jesus' name. We pray that as he walks through this journey with cancer, Lord, we just pray that cancer would reverse, it would turn around, in his body. We thank you that he is strong. We thank you that in you he is strong. And we pray for healing right now in Jesus' name. And we declare good reports. But Jesus is in this situation. Amen, 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 amen. Fill him right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that your presence and the desire for your presence will be greater than anything else that he could reach out to in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Who else needs prayer? Come on, let's. Carla is incredible. And of people that have walked through stuff with a but Jesus attitude, wow. Wow. Of course you do. Of course you do. Jesus never criticized the doubt, did he? He said, come. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Shida rambada kata rapata sida karapata sata karamba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for Carla. Oh, we thank you that she's an incredible, incredible testimony to your love and your grace. And we pray for healing right now. We pray that blood pressure would come up. We pray for all the changes that are happening in her body, Lord, that you would start to reverse some of those. We pray for breakthrough in Jesus' name. We pray for breakthrough. And we continue to declare that legacy and that future that is on her life and in her family, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to move powerfully. Just fill her with peace. Peace, peace, peace. Yeah, where there is doubt, there would be peace. Where there is fear, there would be perfect love. In Jesus' name. 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 Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's reach out to Jose. Lord, we... Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that thank you that Jose has a Caleb spirit. Lord, I thank you that in this season that you're going to bring your strength and vitality to him. We thank you where he's concerned about things that happen in the physical. We just pray that there would be a change, there would be a good report in Jesus' name, that you would fill him with your strength. We pray that whatever happens, that he would continue to say, but Jesus, amen. But Jesus, amen. But Jesus has brought me this far, amen. But Jesus will amen. Remain in me. By your stripes, Lord Jesus, we pray for healing, amen. Healing over him in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, Jesus' mighty name, Jesus' mighty name. Just come with me, Jose. We're going to pray for a lady over here. Lord, we just thank you for our sister here. We thank you that right now today that you are meeting her in a situation. We thank you with what in man, what in the natural almost seems impossible. We thank you that but Jesus said, with God all things are possible. And Lord, we pray for her children right now. We pray that you would meet them where they're at. We pray for her relationship with her children. We pray that there would be a breakdown of walls that have been put up. We pray that right now that she would be able to speak to them with love and grace, and there would be a willingness of that to be accepted right now in Jesus' name. I pray that you would meet her where she's at. that she would know that you're here. She would know that you're in it. She would know that you are going to turn this situation around in Jesus' name. Fill her, fill her, fill her, fill her, fill her with your presence. Fill her with your presence. Fill her with your presence. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Andrea, can you place your hand on the back here? Thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Shida rabata, shida garabata, sabata faram. Thank you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And remind me of your name again.
Bronwyn,
that's right. Lord, we just pray for Bronwyn right now. And we pray that as she's got pain in her back, and that, you know, back pain is such a debilitating thing. Lord, we pray that you would just release that now in Jesus' name, that she would feel your presence. And Lord, as you do something in her back, that you would just do something in her spirit, that she would feel you, that she would find herself living as a but Jesus person. Lord, I pray that she would know, she would feel your presence right now. She would feel your love. Flutter, flutter, flutter with your love. Flutter with your love from the top of the head to the tip of her toes, right through her spirit. And I declare for Bronwyn, for you, you're walking into a new season. And you know, circumstances mightn't change as you would like, but there's something that is going to change in you, that you're going to have a courage and you're going to have a capacity, and that you're going to find yourself being able to speak in the middle of the storm. And there is a peace. Others will draw strength from your courage as you do that. Fill her, fill her, fill her, fill her right now in Jesus' name. Fill her. Healing, 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 healing right now in Jesus' name. 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 There were some other hands up. Who else is here and really just feels that they need that prayer? We'll pray for Bronwyn. We'll pray for Mum. Was there anybody else around here? Yeah, Lord, we just pray for Nita's knee in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray that her knee would begin to heal, and that she wouldn't be restricted by that from the things that you're calling her to do. So just bring healing to her knee in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, and we continue to pray for Kev in Jesus' name.
For my back and for my mental
sharam patasika patasika ta shura patasika tarapatasata tatata shida karapatasata taraba. Lord, we just pray right now for Max back in Jesus' name. We pray for a sense of your peace would flood his body right now. It would flood his mind. It would flood his thinking. I pray right now that he would just understand and get a revelation of what it means to have the helmet of salvation on his head, to have you be able to be there and take every thought captive in the name of Jesus. I pray that right now, as you meet him in this situation, that he would feel your presence right throughout his body, that it would be felt right now in his thinking, that he would actually receive and understand that you're right there in his spirit. And for his back, we pray that things would come back into a line, that there would be a release, that he would walk and run without restriction, and that pain would be gone. That pain would be gone. The pain that exists in his body, pain that actually exists in his thinking, we ask that you would heal that in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Do us together.
Yeah. Shita rapata saka rapata sida ta rapata ta shida ka rapata. Lord, we just thank you for your presence your presence that brings healing. Lord, I pray for Bronwyn right now that she would just feel healing right throughout her body, that she would know that you're in it, where you think things in the